And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
You've got to understand how happy I am. You just got to understand, first of all, I get to be with Mark Clifton. I get to be with Amy Jordan. I get to be with Kevin Spratt without being with them. We're all on Zoom. So I get to see their faces. I get to enjoy their fellowship. But this introvert loves digital fellowship. And and now I got Mark Clifton over here, who I can't figure him out. I just got to tell you, for many people, he is the consummate extrovert and that he's always helping people. But I see signs of introversion the more I get to know Mark. And I think deep down inside, if we peeled away all of that, I was about to call it bluster, let's just say verbiage, there might be somewhat of an introvert in there. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I crave solitude, man. I am an introvert, totally. I am. I love being alone. I mean, I really do. And you know, whenever I travel, I have a friend that travels with the North American Mission Board, and he posted one day, he said, man, thing I hate about traveling is I have to eat these meals alone in restaurants. And I tweeted, man, the thing I love about traveling is I get to eat alone in restaurants.
Mark, I'm such an introvert. I won't even go to a restaurant. I'll do takeout, go to a hotel room, just so I won't be around people. Okay, I'm sorry. We're on episode number 132 of Revitalize and Replant. We're going to be talking about four types of churches that will soon die. We're always grateful to the North American Mission Board, our sponsor, and as well, we are sponsored by churchreplanters.com. More than 10% of churches are at risk of closing, and the North American Mission Board is committed to reversing that trend by decreasing the death rate of existing churches and increasing the birth rate of new churches. And if you want to learn more about it, go to churchreplanters.com. I usually do that the sponsorship at the end. I want to do it at the beginning because it is a great testimony of the ministry of the North American Mission Board that's trying to prevent these types of things that we'll be talking about, the types of churches that will soon die. Oh, I got to also mention this, Mark, and then we'll get into the content of it. Revitalize 2020. Incredible, incredible event gathering about the whole topic and the fellowship and the issues related to revitalization. It will take place. It's going to be sponsored by NAM, North American Mission Board, and Idea Network as our lead sponsors. And it will open up on April, or it will actually be on April 20th to 21st in 2020, this year, in Bradenton, Florida. So just to let you know, early bird admission, we've already had super early bird, now early bird admission, will be through March 17th. So if you want to get this early bird admission, now is the time. Hear me well, this will sell out. There are only 500 spots available. We're having it in a church that has been revitalized. And so we have a limited capacity of 500. It's going to be incredible. So join us there and just be a part of it. We'll look forward to seeing you. You'll be there, won't you, Mark?
I will be there. I mean, I live out in Kansas. It's still kind of chilly in April. So to be able to go to Southwest Florida in April, who would not want to do that?
Well, I've got to say, Southwest Florida is my favorite geography, period. Bradenton, Sarasota, Naples, Fort Myers, all of that area is just absolutely my favorite. And I get there as much as I can, and I'm glad we're doing our first ever Revitalize 2020, the biannual, the every other year meeting of Revitalize Network and NAM as well. So just to let you know, that's coming up. But let's talk about this issue of dying churches. We're going to talk about five of them. And I think you'll recognize any of these churches in many different situations. The first one, I think, is, Mark, we have to mention this. I call it the ex-Bible church, and that is just a cutesy phrase to talk about churches that have drifted from the cardinal truths of the Christian faith. You've seen them.
Yeah. I've seen them, and I've worked with some who years ago, I mean, they decided that they were not going to observe the fidelity of Scripture. They were going to do kind of what was right in their own mind. This kind of dates me a little bit, but they were maybe more concerned about being approved by Larry King than the King of Kings. You can write that down.
I know Larry King. I don't know how much our audience knows Larry King.
But they
won't. I knew Larry King way back when he had only had three wives by that.
Three wives. So
that was a long time ago.
I do think that there were churches that wanted to be embraced by the culture, didn't want to be seen as opposed to the culture, felt like that holding to biblical fidelity would do that, and they moved away from the scripture. They moved away from that. I have been in some churches where, man, in the past, I mean, the pastors they had, the situations that they were in, I mean, they preached the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. He was the only way. And then this one church I was working with that was about to close its doors, I mean, right there in their worship bulletin on the front of it, they said, you know, we believe all paths lead to God. We welcome all faiths here. Well, that's nice and kind, but it's not the gospel. And, you know, there's only one way to revitalize a church, and Jesus does that. He raises dead men to life. He raises churches back to life. And it's a drift. I mean, a lot of times it's not, Dr. Rainer, even with these denominations, we've seen this lately, it's a drift. They don't just, you know, wake up one morning and decide we're just going to reject much of the gospel, much of the New Testament, much of the Old Testament. It's just a slow drift that maybe with each decision seems to make some sense from a human standpoint, but it's not what God would have them do. And so I think it is absolutely true. I think when you talk about 4,000 churches across North America that close their door every year, without a doubt, many of those have left. Yeah, I was in Canada at a national meeting a few weeks ago, Church Planting Canada, and every denomination from across Canada was there. I mean, everything from Pentecostal Holiness to Anglican and everything in between. And I was leading some conferences on replanting, revitalization. This dear brother, I won't tell you what denomination he was from, but he came up to me afterward, this young man, and he was just heartbroken. He said, all the churches in my region that he was responsible for, he said, they are all dying. And he said, what you're saying is exactly what they need. But listen to what he said, Dr. Rainer, and he was just heartbroken. He said, but I can't use all that Jesus language you use because they simply will not listen to it and they'll turn me off. Is there any way we can work on this revitalization without all of that language about Jesus? And I just said, brother, there isn't. And it just amazes me how that we see this drift. Of course, the adversary is behind that. And one of the things we say at the North American Mission Board with our replant team, you ready? In replanting, revitalization, the replanter starts with the Bible and he stays with the Bible. And that's what we have to do.
There's this misperception out there. You talked about we can't talk about culture in Jesus. And we have this tendency, we is a broad statement, but many may have this tendency to say, I'm not going to do these things that are going to offend culture. This is one of my favorite quotes by our friend Rick Warren. He says this: our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense. You can love culture. You can love the people without compromising what you believe. Love that.
Well, and listen, when I went to a church to do revitalization that had long ago left the fidelity of Scripture, and when I came, we were coming back to that full bore, you know, not incrementally, but right away. And the neighborhood, the community felt like, frankly, I was a raving fundamentalist who didn't love people. And it was really challenging for a while. But what we did is we radically loved and served that neighborhood. I mean, not one Sunday a year, but we loved and served that neighborhood literally every day. And we did things for that neighborhood and for some of the troubled schools in there that were really sacrificial. And I want to tell you, I had a guy come. We were putting on a fundraiser for the high school because they had no money for their athletic teams whatsoever. They didn't have first aid kits for the sidelines. And nobody was helping them. So we're a small, little, struggling, revitalizing church. But we put on this fundraiser for them. We also did a lot of things for the families of murder victims in our city. We have vigils for them, and we would help them with their funeral costs and those kinds of things. Mm. And I had a guy come by my office one day, and he said, look, I actually own the bar down the street. That's true. He said, I'm a co-owner down here. He said, I really don't like churches. I really don't like your kind of church at all. But Dr. Rainer, this is what he said. He said, I just got to tell you, I love what you're doing for people, and I can't ignore it, and I want to help you do it. And so he helped us financially with the work we were doing with the school. And over a period of years, not weeks, but years, that community began to see that you could have fidelity of the scripture and a biblical worldview and be the most loving, generous people in your neighborhood. That's what we have to work for.
I love it. The second one we even talked about before the recording, we call it the self-serving church, a church that's focused on the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I, and everything we do is all about us. We see it all the time.
Yeah, we do. It's where we value our preferences over the preference of those who are not reached. It's where we believe membership has its privileges. It's where I've served in this church for 40 years, and so, you know, what I say really goes, what I say really matters. This church isn't, quote, meeting my needs. This church isn't taking care of me. It's a very self-centered thing. And there's no joy in that. I mean, loving on yourself's like a cul-de-sac, man. It doesn't lead anywhere.
Wait. Capture that a moment. This is another Cliftonism. Yeah. Loving on yourself is like a cul-de-sac. What was the rest of it?
It just doesn't lead you anywhere. I mean, it just doesn't. You never feel totally good about it. Like, I think it was John Piper who said, you go on vacation, you don't wake up every morning, go look in the mirror and have a great time. When you go on vacation, you want to go look at the Grand Canyon. You want to go look at the stars. You want to go look at the mountains. You want to see something beyond yourself. And, you know, real joy for the Christian is not found on focusing on our own needs. It's found on focusing on Jesus. Do I need to remind you of Mary and Martha? I mean, Martha sat there at the she was watching Mary, obviously, at the feet of Jesus, and she became quite upset and, you know, burst into the room and interrupted a rabbi in the middle of his talk and said, don't you care about me and all the work that I'm doing? Look, we can call them Martha churches if you want to, where it's all focused on us and what we're doing and comparing ourselves to other people and being torqued off all the time. And when Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, I imagine the whole room erupted in applause. Like, yeah, we've seen that all of our life. And then he said, but Mary, the one thing will not be taken from her. And I think that's important. I mean, there's no joy in focusing on yourself, but if you focus on Jesus, that's a joy that never goes away. And I see dying churches all the time that, man, we can't take the pews out. We can't change the Sunday morning service. We can't paint a wall. We can't move a wall. We can't open the building to people who aren't members. I mean, there's all kinds of things we can't do because it would impact us and how we do things. That is a self-centered church.
Yes, it is.
And I will tell you what, Jesus did not put you there to just take care of yourselves. I mean, he put you there to model his life, which is sacrificially giving and caring and serving others. And if churches don't do that, they will die. And the reason they'll die is Jesus will remove their lampstand. I mean, he won't put up with that.
And if you have any doubt, go to the end of chapter 1 of Philippians and read all of chapter 2. You'll get an idea of what it means to be a follower of Christ. I call this in my book, I'm a church member, I call it the country club church, where you pay your dues and you get your perks and you get served. So right. I like the phrase self-serving church because that is very, very clear. The third one is the phrase we're using is the bad words church. Basically, this is a church that is has a reputation, an earned reputation of negativity. It has had fights. It may have had splits. It may be the phrase that some pastors say very quietly, that's a preacher eater church, they'll eat you alive. And they've had a series of firings of pastors. And this type of church, if it persists, will become one of those dying churches as well.
You know, I think it was our friend Andy Davis who said, there are probably unregenerate church members in every church, nearly, because the scripture says there are those who will say, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name, we did these things in your name, and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And Andy has said that in, you know, more or less healthy churches, we may not really always know who the unregenerate leaders are, people are rather. But he said in unhealthy churches, sometimes the unregenerate become the leaders of those churches. And I don't really want to be, you know, too heavy on that, but I think he's right. Man, I've been in churches where they fuss and fight and never pray. I was working with a church one time that was down to, you know, 15, 20 people. They'd split two or three times. They couldn't keep a pastor. And so they called me in and they get ready to have the meeting, and they just start having the meeting. Nobody prays. Nobody prays at the beginning. Nobody reads any scripture. Nobody prays at the end. And we're just talking about all the problems in the church as though God's not even a part of this. And I did walk away from there wondering, are these people around this table even regenerate? They're not even seeking the Lord at the time of crisis. And churches always say, well, we don't know what we're supposed to do. You know, tell us, look, I, Jesus has a plan for every church. I don't know the plan for your church. You probably don't either, or you'd be doing it. But Jesus knows it. And so you've got to get close to him. But I do know this. Jesus does want you to love one another as he loves you. And he wants the world to see the love you have for each other as an indicator that you are his children. So if you don't do what you know he wants you to do, you're not going to do what his plan is for your church. And so if you can't just love one another and be gracious to one another and be nice to one another and be forgiving to one another, you're not going to revitalize that church. And I just see some of the most, and look, people are sick of struggle and strife in their life, Dr. Rainer. There's conflict at work. There's conflict in their immediate family. There's conflict in their extended family. There's political conflict every time you turn on the television. People can't agree on anything. So the last thing anybody wants to do is go to a church where it's in conflict.
Yes.
So for goodness sakes, it is an absolute tool of the adversary, and it has no place in the Church of Jesus Christ. I could go on all day, I always
could.
But the great missionary movement that began out of Antioch, well, that obviously began when the persecution came in Jerusalem. Well, what brought the persecution in Jerusalem? Well, they were disagreeing in the church over the feeding of the widows, remember? And up until that point, no Christian had ever been martyred. But all of a sudden, the leaders at that church in Jerusalem said, we're not going to let this church fuss and fight and quarrel. We're going to deal with it. And they dealt with it. And when they dealt with the fussing and fighting and quarrel, then it says many of the chief priests and scribes became believers because they saw this group was doing something different. And then when that happened, that's when they became a threat. That's when Stephen was persecuted and killed. And that's when the church began to disperse around the world. And so really what Satan wanted to use for evil, which was disruption in the church, God used for his glory because they worked it out. Yep. And I'm just telling you, you have to come to the place where you're not going to be a church that fusses and fights. And again, it kind of goes back to the second one we looked at, the church that's self-centered. The reason you're fussing and you're fighting is because you're not focused on Christ and the gospel and what he's done for you. You feel like you're owed something. You're not owed anything. I mean, God is so holy and so perfect, and we are so unholy and so imperfect. We just need to be like Isaiah and just collapse it at the foot of the altar and say, I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and quit complaining about everybody else, if that makes sense. Okay, we can now sing the invitation and all go home. I'm done preaching.
Mark, I had a series of what I call micro consultations or intensives in Bradenton not too long ago. And there was one group of 10, and we got on the subject of unregenerate membership. And one of the pastors in there said, what do you mean by unregenerate membership? Another pastor spoke up and said, it's called deacons. And everybody burst into laughter.
You send your cards and letters to Dr. Tom Rainer on that.
That is a quote from someone else. The final one is the ex-community church of four churches that will soon die. Very simply, the church does not look like the community. The community has moved on, but the church is not reaching it.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons 4,000 churches a year close their doors, clearly, is that they leave fidelity of the scripture and they no longer preach the gospel. They have no power. I think another reason that number continues to increase, and even among our group of Southern Baptists, that number of 800 or 900 churches continues to increase every year, is because neighborhoods are not static. They are incredibly dynamic.
Sure.
And you may work really hard to do the exegesis in your community and figure out your neighborhood and who lives there, what their life patterns are, what their needs are. But I'm going to tell you, just about the time you figure it out, it's all going to change again. And then it's all going to change again. And then it's all going to change again. And sometimes you feel like you're pastoring a parade, and just people coming and going and moving in, moving out. Even the demographics of the neighborhood changes, the economy of the neighborhood changes, the lifestyle of the neighborhood changes constantly. And after a while, we just get tired of the change and we just quit dealing with it. And as we say all the time, man, if Sunday morning you leave your church building at 9 o'clock after everybody's in their Sunday school classes and you run down to the closest McDonald's or Quick Trip or whatever's near your church. And if the people in that McDonald's or Quick Trip, well, here in Kansas City, we have Quick Trip. It's like a
The QT sign.
The QT, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
So you just leave your church building, run down to the nearest McDonald's or cafe or QT or wherever. And if the people you left in that building don't look like the people in that McDonald's, you probably have a problem.
You may have a dying church.
You may have a dying church. And so a disconnect from the neighborhood is a real sign of a church that's not going. We've lost the neighborhood church many times in North America. Everybody's trying to be a regional church. Everybody's just trying to grow their numbers without realizing, hey, what's immediately around me? I mean, what's my neighborhood? How can I reach my neighborhood? How can I be Jesus to this neighborhood? And rather than trying to judge your success on how many people walk through the door on Sunday morning, judge your success by the size of the ministry footprint in your neighborhood.
Here's something I want to encourage our listeners to do. We have an incredible tool called Know Your Community. Grateful to Sam Rayner for doing a lot of the design and implementation of this. And there's a link down here, very, very affordable, where you can get all kinds of information about your community, who is there, what their desires are, what their dreams, what their challenges are. So if you just want to know a little bit about your community, you can do that. And remember this, first of all, NAM, thank you again, North American Mission Board. I mentioned them at the front of this. Thank you for always being the sponsor of Revitalize and Replant. And just a reminder, go to churchreplanters.com. I've already given you that information at the front. One final time, Revitalize 2020 will be April 2021st in Bradenton, Florida. Early bird admission is now going on through March 17th. Thank you, North American Mission Board, for being our presenting sponsor, and Idea Network for being a lead sponsor. Thank you for that. And you got to sign up because we're limiting to 500 because we're having it in a revitalized neighborhood church, Mark. West Bradenton Church is reaching its neighborhood. So that's where
we're going to go.
It'll be great. Thank you, as always, for joining us on Revitalize and Replant. My name is Tom Rayner. I have been joined by the incredible, unbelievable, and wildly popular Mark Clifton. You got to love it. You got to love it. Thank you, as always, for joining us on Revitalize and Replant, where we continue to help churches get healthier together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rayner. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRayner.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.